Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
All right, as our kids are getting signed out and our leaders are taking our kids out to Children's Church, we're going to look at the second to last one of our Ten Commandments. So up to commandment number 9, which is found in Exodus chapter 20. And this morning we're looking at commandment... Oh, hang on, it doesn't work when you don't turn it on, does it? There we go, that works much better. Commandment number 9, which is this one. You must not testify falsely against your neighbour. So remember, we've been looking essentially at this whole concept, and by the end of it, you're going to really understand that God's heart in the Ten Commandments is to love us. All right. Anybody been unclear about that? If you've been listening along and hearing all of our messages, it's kind of been the theme of the whole thing, hasn't it? When we understand what God is trying to say, when we understand God's heart behind it, we see how much He loves us. And like a loving parent, He says, here's some guidelines. Here's some things that I want you to stay away from. Here's some things that I want you to do, some things that I wanted to keep you from in order that you might have joy, in order that you might have the best kind of life that you can possibly have, in order that you can live free with peace and that kind of lightness that Kerry was talking a little bit about. This is what God wants for us. Joy and joy to the full. Now, this commandment is essentially, it's really about truthfulness, isn't it? It's really about honesty. It's about our integrity. And there's a couple of questions that I kind of thought. It's like, how honest are we? And you know, you can kind of think about times when we've sort of been somewhat honest or mostly honest. Sometimes there are times when we're dishonest, not in what we say, but in what we don't say. Sometimes there's all different kind of ways. But how honest should we be? Is being brutally honest always the best solution? Is honesty always the best policy? My dad had he's a bit of a storyteller, loves a good yarn. If you've read his book, you'll know that. But one of his favourite little sayings, whenever it came to a story, was, why ruin a good story for the sake of the facts? and it's a little bit like that. These days, it's kind of, you know, if you're in politics, like it's almost, lying is a prerequisite for being in politics, I think. And it's kind of like, it almost becomes like this admirable trait where the better you can lie, and, you know, if you can lie and people still like you, then you'd make a great politician. Yeah. and we avoid, we use words like, you know, spin and alternative facts and things to kind of avoid making it sound like something bad. It's just a different way of presenting the truth that kind of makes me look better. But we can't blame it all on the politicians either, can we? Lying is not a trait that's exclusive to those in politics. I think most of us can probably think of times when we haven't been completely honest, or we've misrepresented the truth, or we've put a good spin on a story, just in those times when it was really important, you know, we just to save somebody's life or something like that, you know, that I'm sure that's the only time that we do it, when absolutely necessary. As kids, it's kind of part of human nature. And I was reading a little bit about this. It's actually part of our natural development to begin to lie. Between the ages of sort of 2 and 4, usually for most kids, around that 2, 3, 4 age, they begin to realize that you can't read their mind. much to parents' dismay, because it's really sweet up until that point. But they begin to realize that they can say things and you don't always know instantaneously. I mean, sometimes you do. I mean, who hasn't seen those little videos on Facebook? We see some kid and they've got like blue icing all over their face and the mum's there with the phone recording. Did you eat a cupcake? No, I didn't eat a cupcake, you know. And mum's just so, you know, and mums and dads sometimes just seem to be able to know, you know. But, you know,
There's a story that's told about a minister who came across a group of boys who were standing around this stray puppy. And, you know, he comes up to the boys and he says, you know, boys, what are you doing? And, you know, and the boys say, oh, we're telling lies. You know, the one who tells the biggest lie gets to keep the puppy. You know, and the minister's shocked at this and he says, well, that's terrible. When I was your age, I would never have thought of telling a lie. You know, and the boys kind of look at each other and are like, oh, all right, you win. You get to keep the puppy. Yeah. I can make those jokes because I'm a pastor, right? So you're not allowed to make those jokes. Okay, so here's the first question. Is it ever okay to lie? All right, we kind of say, you know, lying's bad, lying's wrong, but we kind of, here's the first question. Is it ever okay to lie? Now, I have to say, it's a very wise husband that considers very carefully his answer and how truthful he's going to be when his wife says, do I look fat in this? Yeah. This dress make me look fat, you know. That's right. Sometimes a little lie is essential to save somebody's life. Okay, but seriously, like there's a story in Exodus chapter 1, and you might remember the story of Israel in Egypt, and Pharaoh commands the midwives to kill any baby boys that are born. Do you remember the story? You can read it. We won't read it all today, but I've got a great picture here. This is... I won't say their names because I can't pronounce those names, but this is a painting by an unknown artist of those Egyptian midwives. And basically the story goes, Pharaoh wanted to limit the number of Israelites because they were growing too many, and the midwives disobeyed. They were supposed to, like, you know, as they're delivering babies, if it was a boy, they were supposed to kill him, right? And obviously, like, they didn't. Now, what does God say? They lied to Pharaoh about it. Pharaoh says, you know, you're doing the right thing and whatever. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, no, what did they say? They said, oh, these Israelite women are so strong that they've already given birth before we even get there. Okay? Out and out lie. Okay? Complete untruth. Okay? They feared God. And this is what the Bible tells us. They disobeyed because they feared God. They knew that taking the life of these babies was wrong. And what does it say that God thought about these midwives and their lies and their lying? Okay, it says God was kind to them and gave them families of their own because they feared God. Okay, so there are times when it is okay. I mean, this is kind of an example from Scripture, isn't it, where people tell a lie and God seems to be okay with it. Okay, what about, who knows the story of Corrie ten Boom? World War II, they were a Dutch family and they helped to hide Jews that were being rounded up by the Nazi regime. Now, there would have been all kinds of lies that they would have had to tell. When Germans come in and said, where are they? You know, have you got Jews here? And all the rest of it, they would have lied and said no. You know, and I think, for me, I think God was probably okay with that. You know, so there are times when it is kind of serious issues, when we're up against evil people and evil plans and the schemes of the enemy, when telling a lie isn't such a bad thing because God's law comes first, yeah? Okay. Oh, there she is. If you've never read that story, I encourage you. It's an amazing story. I think it's been adapted to a film, probably a couple of films or something like that, but an incredible story. Okay. Yes. That's right. Father was a Dutch watchmaker or clockmaker, I think, in Germany. Yeah. Okay. Here's question number two. Should I always tell the truth? Okay, it's similar but a little bit of slightly different kind of look at thing. Okay, in some situations there are things that are true that we don't need to say. I remember, I don't know if Katie remembers this, but when she was quite little, She kind of didn't have a lot of a filter, right? Sometimes kids, when they're little, they don't have filters, right? They just say whatever pops into their head. And so this is one of the things that we had to teach our children, that just because something is true or just because you observe something doesn't mean you need to say it. And I remember a particular instance, you girls might remember this. This was back in our pre-gluten-free days. We were going through the Hungry Jack's drive-thru, and the lady who was serving us our food at the window was rather large. And Katie's in the back seat, and thankfully we'd think that she'd gone to get some stuff and had come back, but Kate, we just hear this little voice from the back, and Katie's going, "Wow, she's really fat." You know, that's kind of one of those situations where you go, that is true, but we don't need to say that. Sometimes it's better to hold our tongue. Sometimes it's better to not say things, even though they're true. Being brutally honest and frank and saying whatever pops into our head just because it's true, whether it's, you know, even if it's true, isn't always the right thing to do. Now, there are times, you know, and Scripture talks about this, when there are times when we need to say things that might be painful to hear to somebody. But generally, that's done in relationship, and it's done, according to Scripture, we do it in love. So it is to build up. Look at this Scripture in Ephesians 4. It says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." When we speak, let's speak words that are spoken in love. Let's speak words that build up and not tear down. All right. Lies. Now, we kind of know, although we've kind of talked about those exceptions, as a general rule, lying is generally a bad thing, right? Dishonesty, lying, cheating, all that kind of stuff kind of goes into the categories of things that God doesn't want us to do. So let's look at why. Firstly, lies hurt us. Lies are nearly always found out eventually, aren't they? There's no matter how much you try to stick to them, no matter how much you kind of you follow up your lies with more lies, they nearly always get found out. Here's a scripture in Luke 12, and Jesus is kind of warning against the sort of this hypocrisy, this double standard, this pretending that was often seen, particularly among the Pharisees. But he says, "The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear." And Jesus was kind of getting to this kind of approach to life, or this kind of mentality that the Pharisees had of saying what you wanted to hear to your face, but then talking bad about you behind your back. I don't know if you've ever known anybody who's ever done that, but it happens a lot, doesn't it? People who kind of, they're all sweet to your face, but then later on you hear, they were saying this about you, you know. And it's not great. You know, this is what Jesus is talking. He says, it comes to light. You know, he's going to be found out. When we lie, we live in fear of being found out, don't we? I don't know if you remember, you can kind of go back to, you know, think of those times when you were a kid or whatever, if that's easier to think about those times. But, you know, you kind of, there's always that, you know, is someone going to figure out my secret? Is someone going to catch me out? You know, I've got to keep all my light. Hang on now, what did I tell that person? And, you know, Walter Scott said this, "What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." And it kind of alludes to that whole thing, isn't it? It kind of it builds and it escalates and it gets complicated and tangled. And when we lie, when we try to deceive people, and usually there's that whole concept of, you know, we've got to keep telling more and more lies in order to cover our tracks. The other thing that happens when we lie is that we become suspicious of other people. And we begin to question whether other people are telling us the truth, because whatever, you know, we begin to think, well, if I'm lying, then maybe they're lying too. And so we breaks down trust between people, and it breaks down that kind of whole concept. We become suspicious and paranoid. So lies hurt us, hurts our reputation, and hurts also our relationships with others. And I think this is fairly kind of a bit of an obvious thing. There was a wife who once asked her husband, she said, "Why don't you play golf with Ted anymore?" And husband replied, "Well, would you play golf with a man who moved the golf ball with his foot when you weren't looking?" And she says, "Well, no, I suppose I wouldn't." And he says, "Well, Ted won't either." Dishonesty and lying breaks down that relationship that we have with people, because good relationships, good friendships, close relationships rely on trust, don't they? One of the things in the Old Testament, particularly in the time of ancient Israel and the time of a lot of the Old Testament was written, the judicial system, the courts, the way that they determined whether someone was guilty of a crime and punishment was based primarily on the testimony of witnesses. There was no forensic evidence, there was no DNA, there was no, you know, CSI, you know, special magic sprays that show fingerprints and all that kind of stuff that we have today to figure out whether someone's guilty or whatever to add to our testimony. It really relied very heavily on the testimony of witnesses. And this is one of the reasons I think why God is so strong about this. This is not just something that comes up in the Ten Commandments. This is something that comes up again and again and again and again all through Scripture. This whole concept of honesty, of giving reliable and true testimony. And part of that is because people's lives hung in the balance. There's a story in 1 Kings 21. Who remembers Ahab was married to Jezebel? It's a fairly common name. He was one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had. All right, here's a little picture. Now, there was a guy called Naboth who owned a vineyard, and Ahab wanted his vineyard to grow a vegetable patch. He's like, he goes to this guy and he says, "Hey, you know," you can read the story in 1 Kings 21. He says, "Hey, can I have your vineyard because it's nice and close to my castle and I want to use it as a veggie patch?" And Naboth says, "Well, that's my family inheritance, and God's law says, you know, we're not allowed to just kind of give away our family inheritance, so no, you can't have it." And Ahab goes away and he has a big dummy spit and a big sulk and a cry. And Jezebel comes and says, "Don't worry about this, I'll take care of it." So she throws a big party, gives Naboth an honoured seat, but little does Naboth know that Jezebel's teed up two dishonest guys, two scoundrels, to give false testimony, to basically say that Naboth has cursed God and cursed the king, which is a serious crime. In verse 13, it says this. It says, "Then the two scoundrels came and sat down across from him, and they accused Naboth before all the people, saying he cursed God and the king. So he was dragged outside the town and stoned to death because there were two witnesses who testified in agreement." This is why God says, "I despise someone who lies and testifies falsely against their neighbor." The consequences were quite serious. But, you know, it kind of carries over into the New Testament. Maybe we don't have that same kind of thing where lives and deaths, you know, quite hang so much in the balance, literally. But often, when we spread, you know, rumors and gossip and things can destroy people's reputations. False accusations can destroy people's reputations and take away so much of their life. And this is something that God really hates. Ephesians 4 says, "Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body." The scripture uses this imagery of us being part of a body. You know, you're a hand, you're a foot, you're an eye, you're a knee, you're a, you know, whatever, shin bone. You know, and it says if we're dishonest with each other, what would it be like if our eyes started lying to our brain? You know, what is that like when our ears don't give us the right picture about what we're hearing around us? You know, we think, oh well, that's no big deal. But you know, if our eyes tell us it's safe to cross the road when it's really not, then we get into big trouble. You know, our relationships with one another are really based very heavily on trust and on honesty and truthfulness. And this is part of the way that God's body is designed to function. We are designed as a family. We're designed to be a support mechanism. We're designed to be there for one another, help carry one another's burdens, encourage one another, build one another up in our faith. But who is ever going to be vulnerable enough to somebody to say, well, actually, I'm really struggling with this, you know, would you pray for me, if they know it's just going to get blabbed around all over town? Right, we're not going to do that, are we? We're not going to lay our struggles, we're not going to lay our weaknesses bare before somebody unless we trust them. You know, and what it ends up meaning, if we don't trust somebody, if we think, oh, that person's going to go blab it, you know, they're going to go gossip, that's going to get all around the church and everybody's going to be, you know, onto me. What we do is we keep it and we hang on to it and we try to deal with it ourselves, or we try to ignore it, or we try to bury it, and we continue to struggle because we don't have that family that get around us, the people that pray for us, that support us, that lift us up, that help us when we need it, the way that God intended it to be. Okay, so lies hurt our relationship with others. Number three, what we do reflects on God. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we talked about the not misusing the Lord's name. We talked about this idea that as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. We carry the name of God because we represent Him in our world. And when we represent somebody, what we do reflects on the person that we represent, doesn't it? Now, when you have an ambassador, the actions that ambassador takes reflects on their country. The things that, you know, if an ambassador from Russia, you know, is in America and starts saying things that, you know, and political things and stirring up, they're going to take that seriously because what that person is saying as a representative of their country is serious stuff. And we're a bit like that. The Bible talks about us as being ambassadors for God, as being representatives for God. And so what we do reflects on Him. And God is not a liar. God is honest. God is truth. God is not a cheat. He's just and righteous. Now, this verse in Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He doesn't change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? God doesn't lie. God doesn't cheat. God doesn't take advantage of others through dishonesty. And He wants us to be a faithful representative of Him and represent Him to the world. This is why we're supposed to love people. This is why God said, you know, I think last week we mentioned this, you know, a new command I give to you, love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. He says you're supposed to be different and distinct because you represent God to the world. All right. Who's ever heard of the Heidelberg Catechism? The Heidelberg Catechism was written in the 1500s. It was kind of a document that was written to help Christians understand how to live as a Christian. And it was written in like a question and answer sort of format. And there's a question, number 112, which says this, says, what is the aim of the ninth commandment? All right, which is the one that we're talking about today, not to bear false witness against your neighbour. Okay, and this is what they come up with. Here's some things that kind of help just sort of elaborate a little bit on the importance of this, but also what it looks like in practice. It's kind of small font because I wanted to fit everything on there. I'll read it to you if you can't read it. It says, God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone. I twist no one's words. How often do we do that sometimes without really even thinking about it too much? We tell the story in a way that kind of, you know, makes us look like we're a little bit better. You know, paint ourselves in a better light sometimes. Number three, I do not gossip or slander. I heard a great little quote that says, there's no better way to make a friend than to find a mutual enemy. don't we bond over having someone in common to complain about? It's a fairly common theme, I think, in a lot of workplaces. You whinge about the boss. Proverbs 18, verse 8 says, rumours are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Isn't that true? Okay, so gossip, slander can be incredibly damaging. Number four, it says, I do not join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. That's a little bit challenging, isn't it? When we kind of think, you know, when we are dishonest, when we lie, when we join in gossip or slander, when we join in things that are being said about somebody without, without a hearing or without just cause, we are essentially behaving in a way that behaving like the devil, behaving like Satan. That's pretty full on, isn't it? That's not pulling any punches. And we know that, you know, Scripture talks about Satan as being the father of lies. He uses deceit, he uses lies, he uses misrepresentation, he uses half-truths and deceptions as one of his key strategies. There's a great song that's been playing on the radio. I heard it twice yesterday, called Fear, He is a Liar. Has anyone heard that? Zach Williams, if you listen to Vision Radio. And it's such a powerful kind of thing, something to recognize that, you know, that lies is one of the powerful tools that the enemy wants to use against us. And when we join in with that, we're adding to the problem. We're acting like, you know, like Jesus when he was getting stuck into those Pharisees, he says, you know, Moses isn't your father, Satan's your father, you know. But we're supposed to be like our heavenly Father who is truthful. Okay, number six says, I should love the truth. I should speak the truth candidly. I should openly acknowledge the truth. I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. Truth is a powerful tool in our hands that God has given us. You know, it's not enough to just not lie. As Christians, as believers, we also need to be people who stand up with truth in our hands, who speak up truth when others are misrepresenting it, who are advocates for people who are being lied about or gossiped about or slandered about. You know, we should be the people that stand up and say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be having this conversation. Does anybody know if that's actually true? You know, maybe we shouldn't be talking about this person behind their back. But, you know, we need to be people who do speak up for truth. But one of the greatest truths that we have in our hand is this one. This is one of the greatest truths that we have. This is God's truth. This is powerful, and we need to be people who stand up with truth, because our world is full of lies. Our world is full of deceptions. Our world is full of messages that if you do this, you'll be happy. If you just own this, then you'll be satisfied. You know, if you just, you know, hook up with this person, then you'll feel loved. You know, and it's lies after lies after lies after lies after lies. And people are getting sucked in to this kind of lies. And as we, as the people of the truth, as people of God's word, need to stand up with that truth and say, hey, you know, this might not be popular, but this is what people need to hear. It might not be popular. It's not very popular in our culture right now. It's far more popular to say everyone can just do whatever they want and there won't be any consequences. That's the message of today, isn't it? That's what our culture says. You know, don't criticize anybody. Don't tell anybody what they should or shouldn't do. Nothing is right. Nothing is wrong. Everybody makes their own decisions. Big lie. Big lie from the devil. You know, truth says God has a standard. There's a standard of right and wrong. There is such a thing as sin. And unless your sin is covered by the blood of Jesus, then there is not a place in heaven for you. This is truth. This is power. We need to be people who stand up not only and say, I will not add to the lies, I will be a person of integrity. I will be a person of honesty. But to say, I'm going to be a person who stands up for truth. This is what God has entrusted to us. And this is the power that He's put in our hands. This is the essentially God's heart in this commandment is that we are people who look out for one another. Remember, all of these commands, Jesus summed up in two. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when we truly love our neighbors, and our neighbors, you know, includes family, those who live in proximity, those, you know, our church brothers and sisters, people we work with, people who are in need, you know, whoever it might be. When we truly love people, we don't have any desire to go around spreading gossip. We don't have any desire to lie about them or to make up stuff to try to pull them down. We don't feel that need to make ourselves look better by making someone else look worse. When we love our neighbour, we build up. You know, like this last number 9. You know, what can I do to guard and advance my neighbour's good name? How can I build somebody up? This is God's desire for us. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is truth and your word is powerful. God, help us as your representatives, as your ambassadors, to be people of truth. Lord, people not only who refuse to lie and be dishonest in our dealings with others, not only those who refuse to slander or bring accusations falsely against others around us, not only those who have a love for our neighbor and want to build them up, but also, God, people who carry your truth into our world, the truth of who you are and the truth of what Jesus did at the cross in order to set us free from the chains that bind. Father, this morning, as we examine our own lives, as we examine our own hearts, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to identify the areas in our life where maybe we've hurt people with our words. Maybe we've hurt people by saying things that we shouldn't have said. Lord, help us to have that heart to make that right. Lord, to bring healing, to bring restoration. Lord, for those people. Lord, help us to be carriers of your word, to have that boldness, Father God, to stand up for truth in all its forms, to stand up for your truth. Lord, in our community, in our culture that so desperately, desperately needs to hear truth spoken aloud. God, give us boldness, Lord, to not shy away from the potential consequences of speaking up. Lord, to not shy away from the criticism that comes when we speak your truth that is counter to our culture. But to, Lord, to be people of integrity, people of boldness, people of courage, people that represent your character and who you are faithfully. Lord, we thank you that you are a just God. Lord, we thank you that every word that comes from your mouth is good and is true and is reliable. And Lord, we thank you for the things that you speak over us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.